Okay, our topic for today is Psukim in Nach, which seem to, they sound as if Hashem is not interested either in fasting, which is our connection to Purim with Ta'anit Esther, or that Hashem is not interested in the Korbanot. They seem in some way to cancel the Torah, which encourages these types of rituals. So first I'll give a general overview on what we find in Tanakh about fasting, and then we'll take a look at these psukim from the point of view of the Pirushim, and then from the point of view of Jewish philosophy. And what we're going to see is that the approach that the Parshanim have to these psukim is very different from the approach that Jewish philosophers take. And on your source sheet, you have laid out for you basically in point form, and then I'll put them up on the board, the actual psukim, what all of these psukim are, and I would encourage you afterwards, you can study them. It's actually a very interesting group of psukim that you can look at either as a whole or individually. Now, on the Jewish calendar, we have six set fast days. You have Yom HaKippurim. Then you have four fast days associated with the Chorban. You have Shavuot, Sar B'Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzom Gedalia, and Asara B'Teveit. And then we have the fast of Ta'anit Esther. Now, Ta'anit Esther, all of these fasts are actually noted in Tanakh. Ta'anit Esther is noted in Tanakh. First, in Perek Dalet in Megillat Esther, Esther says, first it says that whoever heard about the decree of Haman fasted. Then it says that Esther told them, before I go to Ahasuerus, Tsumu alai, fast, so that I will be successful. And then at the end of the Megillah, in Perek Tet, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, when Purim is being set for years to come, the Megillah says, Kasher kiyam aleihem Mordechai ha-Yehudi v'Esther Malka, Kasher kimu al nafsham v'al zaram, divrei hatsomot v'zakatam. So clearly that's a reference, Divrei Hatzomot V'Zakatam is clearly a reference to Ta'anit Esther. So we have these fast days in the Tanakh. Plus, if you look through Tanakh, and if anybody's interested, I could outline those sources for you. If you look in Tanakh, very frequently we have fasts for all kinds of Alkol Tzara Shelo Tavo. Any problem that came up, wars, when there was a war, people would fast. Remember the war where Yonatan came at the end of the day and everybody was starving. It's clear that in a lot of dire situations, they always would fast. This was the practice. And in fact, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there are prakim, many prakim devoted to how do we do a fast, what is obligatory on somebody who wants to fast. It's clear that there were fast days set for any problem that the Jewish community had. The Jewish community would resort to fasting. Now, what is the purpose of a fast? So, if you look at the fast days that are for the Chorban, clearly they're for Avelut. They're a sign of mourning. But generally, the purpose of a fast is to arouse us to do tshuva. Presumably, if we deny ourselves our physical needs, then it helps us to get closer to God, to realize that we have to do tshuva. And this is why constantly on the Jewish calendar, even those that are not set, there was a constant, it would seem that they were, and if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it would seem like it was constant that they were setting fasts. We know in Israel, when there's no rain, first they set, you know, if it comes such and such a date and there's no rain, then we have these many fasts. And then if there's still no rain, we fast some more. Clearly, this was a mode of reaching out and spiritual uplifting. Now, it's an interesting question, why do we fast on Tanit Esther? Because Tanit Esther is, clearly we were saved. So, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that it's because they went out to war on Yud Gimel Adar, and since we know that whenever they went out to war, they fasted, as we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, in the war with Amalek, he was fasting, so too we fast anytime we go out to war, so clearly they went out to war, and we should fast that to commemorate their fasting when they went out to war. And the Mishnah Berurah ends that we should realize through this that God listens to whoever calls out to him, the same way he listened to them, so too he should listen to us when we fast. So clearly fasting seems to be appropriate and encouraged. However, if we look at Psukim in Nach, we see that there is a tendency, or what seems to be a tendency, to downplay the significance of fasting. So let's take a look at some of these Psukim, and there are actually quite a lot of them. Let's start with Yeshayahu Nun Chet, which is actually the Haftarah for Shacharit on Yom Kippurim. And it seems to view the fasting as less important than the way we behave on the fast day. Is it big enough? You want me to make it bigger? Okay. Now, how do I do that? Better? Is it big enough? Okay. So, if we look at Pasuk Gimel, Lamatzamnu v'lo ra'ita. The people say, why did we fast and you didn't listen? Ininu nafshenu v'lo teda. We tortured ourselves, right? We oppressed our souls. And you seem to not notice. So the Navi says, why is it? Hen biyom tzomchem tintzu chefetz. On your fast days, what are you doing? You're doing what you're interested in. You're tintzu chefetz. You're going about your business. V'chol atzvechem tingoshu. So here, it's not clear exactly how to translate this. They are oppressing others, or they are busy with their own business. Now, if you look at Pasuk Dalet, Hen l'riv u'matzah tatsumu. What do you do on the fast days? You fight with one another. I guess you're hungry, so you take it out on whoever's around you. L'riv u'matzah tatsumu. L'hakot be'egrof resha. You oppress others. Lo tatsumu kayom lashmia bamarom kochen. You're not fasting as a way of getting closer to God. You're fasting, you're going through the motions, it's perfunctory, but you're not achieving the goal, which is to get closer to God. Hakazei yatzom efcharei, is this what I want? Yom anot adam nafsho, for a person to oppress himself. Halachov kagmon rosho, right, to bend down and be bent over like a reed. Sakva efer yatzia. Halazet tikrotzom, is this what I want? Halozet som efchareu, this is what I want. Pateach hartzubot resha. Hater agudot mota. Open up the chains of oppression. Shalach ritzutzim chofshim b'chol mota tenateku. Basically, in place of what we would say is the Ben Adam Lamakom, Hashem says, I prefer the Ben Adam L'chaveiro. Why are you hurting one another on the fast day? I would prefer that you don't fast and that you go and help others. And then if you continue further, you see that that's exactly what the psukim encourage to paros la'ra'ev lachmecha, give food to the poor, and not the ritual of the fasting. Now, in all of these, you see that fasting, the korbanot, there seems to be a certain formula that you can follow. It's a set formula that you follow. You don't eat from a certain time till a certain time. And in a way, that's easy. You just know, I do that ritual from X time to X time, and then it's done and it's over with. But apparently, the point is missing, and therefore, the Navi says, this is not what I want. I'm not only interested in the fast, I'm interested in seeing some
results.
Tshuva, right, some spiritual growth. Now, if you look on your source sheet, under Yeshayahu Nunchet, you'll see that the Pirushim, and we're going to find this consistently in all of the Pirushim on these types of psukim, we see that the Pirushim take a very narrow view of these psukim. They look on each set of psukim and try to explain it and the nuances in it. Now, what kind of a fast day is this? What fast day is the Navi speaking about here? So it's not clear if it's one of the set fast days or if it's one of the permissible fast days where they just set a fast when there was some sort of a problem, but it would seem that they were calling out to God for salvation for a difficulty. So it would seem that they expected to get results. They expected they fast, they get a result. Now if you look at the Radak, Radak explains these psukim very much the way we've been explaining them. Ein hatsom hanirtzeh hata'anit mile'achol mile'ishtot. What God wants is not just that you should not eat, but ki ein ha'masim ha'ela nivcharim v'nirtzim lefanai im lo b'lev nishbar u'b'masim tovim v'shuv midarkechem harayim. What is God interested in? He's interested in lev nishbar, a broken heart, masim tovim, good deeds, shuv midarkechem harayim, and repentance. He's not interested only in the perfunctory act of not eating. Now, Radak then looks at the psukim. If you look at the psukim, which tell what the person is supposed to do, right? Hello, paros la'ra'ev lachmecha, to do the ben adam l'chaveru. So he has a simple question, which I think we can have also. Is it guaranteed that just because I am nice to my fellow man, that I will have those desired results, a broken heart, masim tovim, shuv midarkechem harayim? If what's desired is tshuva, then being nice to my fellow man is no guarantee that I have done tshuva. I could be a very nice person and not have done tshuva. So if you look at this radak, and it's actually, I'm not sure how to read it. Umibsarcha lo titalam. Don't ignore your brethren. Someone who does these types of ben adam l'chaveru, muchzaku shemekayem kol ha-mitzvot? I think it's a question. The question mark is my own. It's not there in the Radak, but I think it's a question. Just because I do those, is that a guarantee that I keep all mitzvot as I'm supposed to? Ela zachar ma'asim elu shehem hefech ha-ma'asim ha-ra'im shezachar. So Radak says that, as we saw, the Navi said, what are you doing on your fast days? You're hurting one another. So he then, when he said what he wants them to do, he said, I want you to be nice to one another, to cancel that which they were doing, which was incorrect. But as a general formula for what is desired on a fast day, what is that which is desired? Tshuva, Lev Nishbar, not necessarily only Ben Adam L'Chaveru. Okay, perhaps what they were lax in was Ben Adam L'Chaveru, but that's not what Radak would seem to think is necessary on every fast. Anyway, let's move on to the next set of psukim, and we'll see this type of attention to detail in the particular psukim, but no real broad view of the psukim as a whole, which we're not going to find till we get to Jewish philosophy. Jewish philosophers look on the psukim as a unit and say, what do we make of all these psukim? But the parshanim generally look on them, each one in its own place. Now, in Zechariah Zion, Aleph through Zion, and here actually I'm not sure that these psukim are actually related to our issue, and you'll see why. It's the time of Bayit Sheni. And in Bayit Sheni, they had already instituted the fast for Bayit Rishon, but now they have the second Beit HaMikdash. But the second Beit HaMikdash was not as great as the first in their eyes. Many people thought that it was not as great. So they ask a simple question. They want to know, now that we have Bayit Sheni, should we fast over the first Beit HaMikdash? Right? We have all those fasts on the calendar, but we have Bayit Sheni. So do we say, well, we have Bayit Sheni, and therefore, since we have it, we don't need to fast anymore for Bayit Rishon? Or do we say that Bayit Rishon was much greater, and therefore we still have a loss, so we'll continue to fast? So they say, should we fast? Ha'ev kema chodesh ha'chamishi. Should I fast like I did all of these years? And the Navi answers them in a way which is a similar approach to fasting. What does he say? Hatzom samtuni ani at the end of Pasuk Hey. Hatzom samtuni ani? Are you fasting for me? V'chitochlu v'chitishtu. Halo atem ha'ochlim v'atem ha'shotim. Meaning you're not doing it for me. You are the ones eating and drinking. If you want to, fast. If you don't want to, don't fast. And then he tells them what he wants them to do is to do that which he told them while the Beit HaMikdash was standing. Meaning, if you want to know what I want is you to listen to what the Nevi'im told you throughout Bayit Rishon, which caused the Chorban because you didn't listen. Now, I hesitate to put these psukim together with the psukim that we're discussing, and if you see here in Parak Chet, he then goes on and he says that the fast days will be happy days. Som ha-chamishi, som ha-shvi, som ha-siri, yu le-beit Yehuda, u-sason u-simcha, v'ha-emet v'ha-shalom ahavu. And again you see the emet v'shalom ahavu, which is what types of mitzvot? The ben adam ha-chaveiro. Now I hesitate to put these together with the psukim with psukim like Nun Chet, why might they not be related? Why might they not be the Navi's generic approach to fasting? Why might they not be very general? Because they relate to a specific historical context, and therefore, if not for that context, he might have a different attitude. So it could be that these psukim are not related, which is why I put them in parentheses on your source sheet. Now, we find many more psukim, actually, related to this issue of form, just performing a ritual in a perfunctory manner without its desired goal, relating to the korbanot. And the korbanot, again, is similar to a fast day in the sense that it's a ritual. You perform it. You bring the korban, you bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, you pay the amount of money that it costs, and then you figure, okay, I'm free. I did what I was supposed to. Now I'm okay. And again, we see the Navi downplaying the significance of the korbanot, downplaying the significance of the ritual, and preferring rather Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and other mitzvot. If you look here, and these psukim I presented simply in the order of Tanakh. So I just put them in the order in which they appear in Tanakh. Shmuel Aleph, Tet Vav, Chafen, Chafimel. Hachevet Hashem Ba'olot Uzvachim. Does God want korbanot? Kishmoa B'kol Hashem. how can you compare listening to God to bringing korbanot? What does he want? He wants you to listen. Hine shamoa mizevach tov. Listening to him is worth much more than a beautiful korban. Lahakshiv mechelav elin. He prefers that you listen to him, that you obey him, over bringing fattened cows. Right? He prefers that you accept his word rather than bringing the korbanot. And if you look at your source sheet again, you see the same thing in the Pirushim. This time you look at Ralbag. Ralbag has a simple explanation of what does it mean that does God want your korbanot? He says, Hinezem v'bu'ar, ki ha'olot v'hazvachim yavo'a ha'ta'im. Why do people bring korbanot? They bring korbanot for sins. Lama lazeh u'mevo'ar, ki hu yoter tov, she'yishmor ha'adam e'achay. It would be preferable not to sin at all. V'lo yitzarech le'elu ha'korbanot. The only reason you need the korban is if you sin. So God prefers that you listen and not need the korban, than that you sin and then need the korban. Again, he's looking at the wording and saying, what can we see from the wording? But you don't see any connection here on the part of the Pirush to other psukim like it. And you'll see, we have a whole slew of psukim like it, but in the Parshanut, we find that the Parshanim look specifically at the wording of those psukim rather than the connection of these psukim to other psukim like it. If we continue into Yeshayahu Perek Aleph, very famous psukim, Lama li rov zikhechem? Why do I need all of your korbanot? So many korbanot. Savati olot elim v'chelev riyim. I had enough already. It's too much. I'm satisfied. Dam parim ukvasim v'atudim lo chafatzti. I'm not interested in all of these korbanot. Ki tavo lerot panai? Mi bikesh zod li'etchem? Who asked you to come here? Ramos chatzerai. You're trampling my courtyards. As if, who needs you here? Lo tosifu havi minchat shav. Don't continue to bring these korbanot, which are worthless. Ketoret toevahi li. The Torah that you bring is a toeva. It's disgusting to me. Chodesh, Shabbat, Krom, Yikra. Who needs all of these? Chodeshechem u'moadechem san'an nafshi. Listen to the language. It's actually very negative. Chodeshechem u'moadechem san'an nafshi. I hate when you come to the Beit HaMikdash. Hayu alai l'torah. They were a burden. Mil 18 is so. I am tired of carrying this burden of you coming. Now, what does he tell them to do in place of these korbanot? So again, you have the same complaint about the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Ki tabu tefilah ineni shomea, yidechem damim malei. Why don't I listen to you? Because your hands are full of blood. Rachatsu, yizaku, hasiru ro ma'alechem yineged einai. Stop sinning. And he doesn't clarify here in Pasuk Tet Zayin, he does not say what the sins are. Lindu heitev. Yershu mishpat, ashru chamot, shiftu yatom, rivu amana. Certainly towards the end of this pasuk, what types of mitzvot is he expecting? Ben adam l'chaveiro. And if you look in the Pirushim, here again, Radak tries to clarify why does Hashem say that he doesn't want the korbanot? He says that the purpose in the korbanot was to have you remember me always, but since you're bringing the korban and not doing tshuva with it, it's not leading to the desired result, so what do I need it for? And if you look at the part that I underlined, ho'il va'atem ozvim torati, since you're leaving the Torah, lama li rov zivchechem, why do I need the korbanot? The only reason I gave you the korbanot was that you should always remember me and have a constant reminder to serve Hashem. But if, and also if you sin, you should do tshuva. If you would do it, then I would enjoy the korbanot. But since you're not doing that which I want, therefore, I don't get any satisfaction from it, so you might as well not do it. In Yirmiyahu, we have a similar. Lama li levona mishva. Why do I need the levona? Olotechem lo l'ratzon v'zevchechem lo arvuli. Your korbanot are not pleasing to me. I don't want them. In Yirmiyahu, a Perek Zion, he actually gets very somewhat sarcastic even. He tells them that you're relying on the Beit HaMikdash. You keep sinning, but then you rely on the Beit HaMikdash. What do you say? And he tells them, what do you say? Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem, Echal Hashem, Hema. If I tell you that you're sinning and you're going to be punished, what do you say? Oh, the Beit HaMikdash is going to save you. Al tiktachu lachem el debrei hasheker. Don't rely on this. Ki im heitev teitivu et darkechem et malechem. If you will better your ways and you will do mishpat, ben ishu ben re'ehu, ger yatom ba'amana lo tashoku, and these are all again the ben adam l'chaveiro, then I will protect you. Now, Haganov, Pasuk 10, Haganov, Ratzoch, Vena'ov. Do you think that you're going to steal, kill, commit adultery, lie, swear falsely, Kater Labal, do Avodah Zarah? Now here, it's not only Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Ba'aloch acharei Elohim acherim, asher lo yida'atem. U'batem v'amadatem u'fanai v'bayit hazeh. Do you think you're going to come then, if you do all these terrible sins, then you're going to come to the Beit HaMikdash and you're going to say, God save us? Hama'arat paritzim haya habayit hazeh? Is the Beit HaMikdash a den of robbers where they run to for comfort after they go do their bad deeds? Is that what the Beit HaMikdash is here for? And clearly he's telling them, don't rely on it, because it's not going to save you. Later in the Perek, very famous psukim, Olotechem sifu al zidchechem bichlu basar. Why don't you take your korbanot olah and add them to the korbanot shlamim? The shlamim was eaten by the person and by the kohen. The olah went kulo kalil Hashem. So he says then, you know what, you think you're doing me such a great service by giving me these olot, why don't you make them all shlamim, because I don't need the korbanot that come up to me. I don't need it. And v'chlu basar, and you can eat the meat. I don't need it. Ki lo divarti et avotechem v'lo tzivitim v'yom otiyo otam eretz mitzrayim al debrei olav azeva. And he goes so far as to say, because I never told your forefathers when they came out of Mitzrayim, I never told them that I wanted the korbanot. Up to the point where he seems to be canceling what the Torah tells us, all of Sefer Vayikra, to do the korbanot. He says, I don't want the korbanot. Did I tell you to do the korbanot when you went out of Mitzrayim? So here again, what problem do the Parshanim have to deal with? What do you mean? How can you say that I didn't tell you to do these korbanot when you went out of Mitzrayim? If you look at the Pesukim in Chumash, you can see that you're supposed to do the korbanot. So if you look at the Radah, various interpretations, Yesh mefarshim kihi ha-mitzvah ha-rishonah, v'hu ma-shetiva otam b'mara. So what's the argument here? It wasn't the first mitzvah. What was the first mitzvah? Shabbat, dinim, et mara, and not the korbanot. Another explanation he has is Yesh Safarish Gamkein on the third line here of Radah, Ki Ikara Mitzvah Lo Haita Al Debrei Olah V'Zeva. The main part of the purpose of the mitzvah was not the actual korban, Ela Shimu B'Koli V'Yitim Lila Av. And yet, if you actually trace the psukim when they come out of Mitzrayim, what he tells them is Shimu B'Koli V'Yitim Lila Av, and not about the korbanot. So Radak says, if you look, you see what was it that Hashem really wanted? Shimu v'kolevi yitzem lilam, and not that they should bring the korbanot. ובזה התנאי נתן להם את התורה, ואין בכל עשרת הדברים זכר עולם וזבח. If you look in the עשרת הדברות, there's no mention of the korbanot, which Radak takes as an indication that korbanot were not God's first intention, but rather maybe a secondary or tertiary intention, but the main purpose God wanted was that people should listen. And even when he spoke about the korbanot, Radak goes on to say that even when he spoke about the korbanot, he only said, if you want to, adam ki yakriv mikem korban, if you bring korban, but not that you have to. Certainly the yachid doesn't have to bring korbanot, maybe the tzibor has to, but not the yachid. So what they're looking for in the Pirushim is ways of mitigating or of interpreting the exact pasuk, but not a global view of these psukim. If you look at Mahari Krai, he does a similar thing. He says, it's for you. If you need or want the korbanot, you can have them, but for me, I don't need them. Abarbanel has an interesting interpretation here. He says that the only reason Hashem gave them the korbanot, he says, if you look, he only gave them the korbanot after Chet HaEgel. He only commanded them the korbanot after Chet HaEgel, which is a sign that it was sort of b'dieved. Now that they did the Chet HaEgel, they need a way of rehabilitating themselves. So he gave them the korbanot, but not that it was originally intended that that's what Hashem would do. Okay, if we keep looking at more and more psukim like this, Hoshea Perek Vav, Ki Chesed Chafasti Velo Zevach, Hoshea Chet Yud Bet, Hashem Lo Rotzam, God does not want them, these korbanot. Amos, Saneti Ma'asti Chagechem, just like whom? Just like Yeshayahu, right? I hate your holidays, and Imt Ta'aluli Olot, U'minchotechem Lo Yitzeh, I don't want them. Shelem Riechem Lo Abid, I'm not going to pay attention to them. Hazvachim U'mincha, Pasuk Chav Hei, Hazvachim U'mincha Higashtem Li Bamidbar Arba'im Shana Beit Yisrael? Did you give me korbanot in the midbar 40 years? As if to say what? I didn't need them then, I don't need them now, right? I lasted for the 40 years in the midbar without them, why do I need them? So of course, what do you think the Parshanim are going to zero in on here? Did they not give korbanot in the midbar for 40 years, right? So if you take a look, and here actually Radak does connect the pasuk to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Amar im zvachim u'mincha yigashtem li bamidbar avayim shana beit Yisrael kimo she'amar b'nevuat Yirmiyahu. So you see now here he is connecting it to the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Amru razal ha'asuya b'har Sinai, Rabbi Eliezer omer ma'aseh ola ne'emu b'sinai v'yatzma lo kreva. They were told to do it, but they didn't actually bring the korbanot. Rabbi Akiva omer kreva v'shuv lo paska. They really did bring the korbanot. So then how do you explain this pasuk in Amos, which says, did you bring the korbanot? So he says, you didn't bring them. Who brought them? Shevet Levi, who were clean and holy because they didn't participate in Chet HaEgel. And if you look at the Sifri, which comes right afterwards, the Sifri interprets this pasuk as a negative comment on Bnei Israel, that while they were in the Midbar, they only brought the Korban Pesach once. So when it says, Hazvachim u'mincha yigashtem li Beit Yisrael, b'Midbar, it means specifically the Korban Pesach, but not all other Korbanot. Okay? And again, they're looking at specifics of the wording, or the specific aspect that's brought, but not on these psukim as a whole, although you do see Radak mentioning the connection to Sefer Yirmiyah. Okay, in Micha we have similar. Bama Kadem Hashem. What should I do to please God. Ha'akadmenu be'olot, should I bring him beautiful korbanot, bagalim b'nei shana, ha'yitza Hashem ba'alfei elim, is that what God wants? Higid l'cha adam matov, I'll tell you what God wants. Uma Hashem doresh mincha, ki imasot mishpat, ba'avat chesed, ba'atzne alechet im Hashem alokecha. What he wants is that you should do the right thing. He wants you, and again here is the Ben Adam al-Chaveiro, Vatzne al-Lechet im Hashem al-Lokech. Now, if we move into Nivuot from the period of Bayit Sheni, we see that even at the beginning of Bayit Sheni, we still have Nivuot like this, which are discouraging the Korbanot. And here again, the wording is very negative. If you look here at Pasuk Yud, Mi gam b'chem v'yizkor d'latayim. I wish that what? I wish you'd close the doors to the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo tayiru mizbachim chinam. Ein l'chepetz b'chem. I don't want these korbanot. But here, we have a little bit of a twist, which is actually, it's a little bit puzzling. It's not so straightforward. Here, if you take a look carefully, you see that not only is he complaining that he doesn't want the korbanot, but he's actually telling them that he dislikes the way they bring the korbanot. Now, this is very different from all the other psukim that we've seen, because in all the other psukim, what did it seem like he was saying? I don't want the korbanot at all. Here, he's telling them, the korbanot that you are bringing me are not the best. Magishim al-mizbechi lechem migo'al. Pasuk Zayin, you're bringing... Now, let me just point out that this nivuah was specifically said to the Kohanim, and that may be why there's a difference. Magishim al-mizbechi lechem migo'al. You sacrifice on my altar disgusting bread. How? So he says, "V'chitagishoni be'el lisboach ein rach." If you bring a blind animal, there's nothing wrong with that. "V'chitagishu pisach v'choleh ein rach." Hakriveu na'ul pechatecha. Why don't you try giving that to your governor? See if he likes it. So here, what is he complaining about? Not only the actions that go along with the korbanot, but what is he complaining about here? The actual korban, right? That they're not bringing the best animal. Now, to me, it seems like this is the opposite of what he had said all along. If you don't care about the korbanot, then why would you care that it be done in a proper manner? Right? And he tells them, I don't need the korbanot. I'm not interested. Any ideas why this would be? Why here would he say bring the good korban if in general he doesn't care about korbanot? Then why here would he care what type of korban you bring?
It seems to me that it's an insult to bring a low class korban. The other one is, all right, you don't get it, what a korban is really supposed to be, but at least you're not insulting me. And here he says in the next Shukim, I'm known all over and everybody respects me and you're giving me junk. So that's an insult. That's worse than not doing what the korban expects.
It's my mother.
We didn't practice.
But still, the question I guess would be, were they bringing blind and lame korbanot before or only now? Meaning, did something change? So a couple of thoughts, perhaps that at this point something changed, that maybe now they were no longer bringing the best korbanot. Perhaps it's different because in Bayit Sheni, when they're reestablishing the Beit HaMikdash, there's a need to bring back the glory of the Beit HaMikdash. So perhaps before, the Beit HaMikdash was very glorious, and therefore there was no need to stress the problem with the actual korban that they were bringing. He was more interested in other things. But here it's the beginning of Bayit Sheni. Also, it could be that, and maybe this is what you're thinking, is that if they're not bringing a beautiful korban, then that shows they have the wrong intentions. Because if they really had the proper intentions, they would bring a proper korban. Okay, let's get now to the punchline, which is the, since they're waiting out the door, let's get to philosophers, Jewish philosophers. Now, when you look at Jewish philosophy, Jewish philosophers look on these psukim as a whole. They're actually not the only ones. Christians also looked on these psukim to prove that that the Torah doesn't really want mitzvot. Philosophers and later Jewish thinkers take a look at all these psukim as a whole. And the Rambam, you don't have the Rambam on your source sheet, but if you look at the Rambam here, the Rambam, in the very famous statement about the Korbanot, the Rambam views the Korbanot as a concession, right, as a ruse, a concession to the practices that they were engaged in anyway. They were other, they were doing this for the Avodah Zarah as a way of weaning them off the Avodah Zarah. God allowed it, but he didn't really want it. Now, of course, the psukim, all these psukim, back up that view because they show that Hashem is not interested in the korbanot. And you see here, he brings the pasuk from Shmuel, he brings the pasuk from Yeshayahu, he brings the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. And many Jewish philosophers went along with the Rambam in this, in viewing these psukim as a devaluation of the korbanot. Of course, then they had to figure out why does the Torah command all of these and try to find value in them, even though the Nevi'im seem to devalue them. But if we take a look, and this source you have on the last sheet of your sources, the Kuzri has a very interesting approach to these psukim, which seems to be more in keeping with the Pirushim. See, the Rambam and those who follow him don't really seem to be in keeping with what the psukim means in context. But the Kuzri has a very interesting explanation of all of these psukim as a group. And again, he's looking on them as a group rather than as individual psukim. Kasher Yigia HaMeri, Mibnei Yisrael, Elinyan, I'm reading the part right on the line. Sheikelu Batorot HaSichliot Mahamin Hagiyot. B'nai Yisrael got the mitzvot, and they did what they were supposed to. But then it came to a point where they were, he came with mitzvot pasifliot. They were leaving, they were lax in the mitzvot, shebein adam l'chaviro. And at the same time, hefziku imzeh ba'avodot mikorbanot b'zulatam. They, at the same time, they were lax in their ben adam l'chaviro, which the Kuzri says any society needs people to be nice to one another. Even he says even robbers are nice to each other, otherwise they would never be able to coexist. And they got to a point where they were lax in the mitzvot shebein adam l'chaviro, but at the same time they were keeping the mitzvot shebein adam l'makom, all the rituals. So what did he tell them? He said, I'll be happy with less. Don't do the extra. No, the mitzvot shiniyot, which he called the mitzvot shebein adam l'makom, the rituals, those are the icing on the cake. But first, you've got to do the basics. So he said, I'll be happy with the basics. Go back. And he seems to be saying, don't do the korbanot anymore. Don't do the rituals. Go back. Fix yourself. And then come back, and then you can start doing the mitzvot, shebein adam l'makom. Now you see that he's certainly not interested in only the mitzvot, shebein adam l'chaviro, because if you look at the end, he says, Hayitachen she'afazik ha'israeli ba'asot mishpat ba'abat chesed, would it be enough only to do the mitzvot, shebein adam l'chaviro, bi'azo ha'milava, shabbat, torot ha'pesach, which are of course all the rituals. You can't do only the ben adam l'chaviro, but if you're only doing the ben adam l'makom without the ben adam l'chaviro, then so you're not a normal society. There's no way that you'll be able to survive.
Now, why is it that you need to stop doing the mitzvot Shavei Adom Lamakom? I mean, why is he telling you to stop doing the mitzvot Shavei Adom Lamakom to fix the Ben Adom HaKadero? Why can't you fix the Ben Adom HaKadero at the same time that you're continuing to do the Ben Adom Lamakom?
Because you're using one as an excuse.
Right. And what happens is you allow the fact, you say, well, I'm a good Jew, right? I bring my karban, I fast on the fast days, and therefore that allows you to fool yourself into thinking that you're good. There's a beautiful Rav Hirsch, where Rav Hirsch says that if not for the mitzvot that are done in the shuls, I think the cure for our generation is to shut all the shuls for 100 years. He says, because everybody thinks, now he says we shouldn't do it because of the Kriyat HaTorah, the mitzvot that we do in the shuls, but it's a similar idea. Because the coming to shul allows them to think that they're okay, and then they go home and they sit. So these, the philosophers, look on it more as a whole rather than the individual sukkim. I remember when I was a kid, the front page of the newspaper, I remember my parents showing me deriding this guy, Rabbi requests kosher milk in jail, right? That's a ritual, right? I drink the kosher milk, I'm okay. But what happens, why was he in jail for putting bodies in the freezer and collecting their social security checks, right? So clearly there has to be that balance, and that's what the Navi is striking. But if you look at the Parshanut, the Pirushim tell us what the Navi meant in context. I want the real thing. The philosophers then go and take it as a statement of how you get to the composite picture. I wish everybody understood.